Tonight, I'd like to remind you of your high calling. And all of you, each one of you, you're a daughter of the King. And this King is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And rest in that tonight. Just listen and rest in this thought. There is a responsibility that comes with it, but it's a delightful responsibility to carry out. There's two that we're just going to mention. One of them is the King wants you to live daily for Him, every day, hour in and hour out. And the second thing that we're going to dwell upon is that the King wants you to know what's upon His heart. He wants you to know what's upon His heart. And as we've studied the Word here together, and as you've studied at home and gone to conferences, I know that you've learned that people are on His heart. People. You. Everybody here. One of our common verses that we all know, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, God is not willing that any should perish." And He has a world full of people, and He's concerned for each one. And He loves each one. He loves you. You're in His world. And He wants us right now to have on our hearts what's on His heart, and that's people. A love for people. We want to start there. And He wants you to join Him in reaching these people. You know, we talk a lot about the Great Commission. He wants you to join Him. Tonight we're going to talk about joining Him through the Great Commission in prayer. And God is looking for girls now. He's looking for girls who will be willing to just do what He wants them to do. And He's looking for girls who will be willing to go. Just go where He wants them to go. He's looking for girls who will be willing to sacrifice. And then girls who will be willing to pray. And you know, many of us, some of us, will never go to these faraway lands, but all of us can pray. And I think that prayer is one of the mightiest and the greatest ministries that a girl can have. So let's talk a few minutes about prayer. What is it? I'm sure you have your definition. In your mind, you know what prayer is. And I'd like to share with you a few definitions of some men of God. Some of them have said that prayer is pulling with God in His plan for the world. Prayer is pulling with God in His plan for the world. And someone else said prayer is listening to God, finding out His purposes, and then making those purposes our purposes. And someone else said prayer is partnership with God in His planet-sized purposes for the world. Prayer is partnership with God. Someone else said prayer is the turning of the soul to God. I like this one. Someone said prayer is fighting. Satan cannot stand before persistent knee work. I'll repeat that. Prayer is fighting. Satan cannot stand before persistent knee work. Prayer is not persuading God to do what we want, but it's the fulfilling of His will to be done here on earth. And so the secret of prayer is saying to God, praying to Him, God, what is Your plan? Now, you know, we've got a lot of plans. I could go home and just really roll out plans, but that isn't prayer. Prayer is coming to God and saying, what is Your plan for my life? You're working on a college campus. God, what is Your plan to reach this college campus? And then, you know, you get a little bit deeper in the Lord. You say, Lord, what about this city? God, what is Your plan to reach the city? And then we hear from different people who have been around the world, and we say, well, Lord, what's your plan to reach the world? And he has a plan. And by coming to him in prayer, we can find out some of these things, the things that are upon his heart, and asking, Lord, your will be done here on earth. And I want to have a part in praying for your will to be done. And if you can use me to go, great, I'll go. We always begin by prayer. Sometimes we come to God with our plans, and we lay out all our strategies, and we say, now, Lord, here they are, bless them. An example, in San Jose, we had the neatest idea. We were going to have a tea and reach a lot of people. But the secret was, it wasn't God's plan, nor his timing. And we talked about this thing, and we had plans, and it would not carry out. And finally it came through. This wasn't God's plan at all at that time. He had something completely different. And about 3 years later, we had a tea that God really blessed, when we found out what his plan is and when he wanted it done. I'd like to share with you a quotation from S.D. Gordon. He's written a book called Quiet Talks on Prayer. And this is what he says. The great people of the earth are the people who pray. I don't mean those who talk about prayer, nor those who can explain about prayer. But I mean those people who take time to pray. They have not time. It must be taken from something else. This something else is very important and pressing, but it's still less important and less pressing than prayer. And that's what it is. Because good things can eat away our prayer time. Important things. But ask God, is it more important that I pray or that I do this or that I go someplace or that I pray now? And like my favorite thing, Bernice has said, our public ministry is only picking up the results of our prayer life. So start walking on your knees, like Bob Boardman says. I like that quotation. Well, we want to talk about prayer in reaching out for the world. And this is intercessory prayer. Now, what is that? What is intercessory prayer? Well, it's simple. Intercessory prayer is just coming to God in behalf of someone else and praying for that person. You're coming to God in behalf of someone else. Now, this is what is exciting to me about prayer. Do you know that tomorrow you can go to your room, close the door, and you can spend a half an hour in London, England, praying for Joyce Turner? You can pray for some of the girls that she meets with. You can pray for Joyce. You can remember Jan Jansen, who works in the headquarters secretary, as the headquarters secretary there. And then you can leave your room. The next day, you go back to your room. You can close the door, and you can spend a half an hour in prayer. Well, Marion Ristall now is going to Formosa. You can spend a half an hour in prayer in Formosa. Or the next day when you go to your room, you can spend a half an hour in the Middle East, Trudy Crawford. The next day you can spend a half an hour in prayer, and you can be in Japan. You can travel all around the world in prayer. Because prayer does not have limitations. There's no walls, no body energy that you waste so much that you just get so tired you can't drag one more step. Even the mind, God works through someone's mind when you're praying. And that's the joy. You can have prayer friends from one end of the world to the other end. People you've never met, but they're your prayer friends. Maybe someday you'll get to meet them. But that's the joy of prayer. You can just reach out across the world in prayer. Now, I know that you're going to say, what do you pray for these people? That's what I always used to think. What do you pray for these people? Here they are, missionaries. But they need prayer. And I've listed down a few of the things that we can pray for them. It isn't sufficient to say, Lord, bless them. He will. They're his children. He'll bless them. So we can't say that. We have to go further. We have to pray about their physical needs. And sometimes we forget to pray about their spiritual battles. But you know, if you stop and you think about yourself, what are your needs? Pray these same things for the girls that you know and the couples that you know overseas. Let's go over a few of them. What about strength to carry out your ministry responsibilities or your responsibilities at school or work? You need strength. So do they. That's one thing you can remember. Pray for their strength. May the joy of the Lord be their strength. And another thing, how about when you do your Bible study? Is it always fresh and you can hardly wait to get there? You know, sometimes we really want people to pray that our Bible studies will be fresh to us and really life-changing. Pray that for them. They face the same things you do. What about their scripture memory? Same thing. Pray they'll really be motivated to learn those verses and the Lord will really speak to them through His Word. What about evangelism? Do you just go out and witness and all these people come to know the Lord? No. Pray for them when they do their evangelism. And you know, your prayers can make it easier for some girl that they're talking to really accept the story of Jesus Christ and then to accept Christ into their heart and life. Your prayers can do that. And so pray for them. The same things you encounter that are hard when you're out witnessing. You need courage. You need to know the scripture verses. Pray those things for them. What about safety? Don't you sometimes pray for safety? For protection? Pray those things for them. What about health? Pray for their health. What about wisdom? Don't you once in a while say, Lord, I need some wisdom. So do they. Pray for their wisdom, for understanding, and for insight. And here's something. Pray for a good sense of humor. Sometimes you can get discouraged. When everything goes wrong, everything but everything, you need a sense of humor. Pray this for them. They really need it. Do you ever get weary or lonely, discouraged, perplexed, frustrated? So do they. Pray for them. Just ask the Lord to help them through all of these things that you face too. What about financial needs? Do these things ever come up and you ask the Lord, now Lord, you know that I need this. They have the same kind of need. Pray that God would meet their financial needs and take care of them. And then what about all the girls that they meet with, the girls in their study? Sometimes we can pray for the girl that we know, like Trudy or whoever it might be, on a foreign land, but we don't always remember the girls that she is meeting with. And so we need to remember those. And pray the same things that you pray for the girls that you meet with, a hunger for the Word, a real love for the Lord, a desire to reach out, faithful to the Lord. Pray those same things. Even though you don't know these girls, pray for them. You know, I was thinking about the Philippian people and the people of Ephesus and how much they grew, and I thought, now what did Paul pray for these people? So we went through and found out some of the things that Paul prayed. Get out your Bibles, write them down, that's what I've done. Pray these things for these people. When you think of Ruth Homestead in the Philippines, this is what Paul prayed for the Philippian believers. He says, I pray that you may have more love, a love that's full of knowledge and wise insight toward others. They need that. That's something you can pray. Because our love, you know, wears thin. And all of a sudden, snap, it's gone. But God's love flows full and rich and free through us. And this is something, this is what Paul prayed for the Christians, the believers in Colossae. He said, I pray that you may see things from his point of view by being given spiritual insight and understanding. If you ever think of me and pray for me, I like that. I need that. He says, Paul prays that you may see things from God's point of view. That's what we need to do, see things from God's point of view. We all need that wisdom and insight. And he also prayed for the Colossians. He prayed that their knowledge of God would grow yet deeper. Pray that they'll have sufficient time in study. And the activities and the busyness just won't take away their study time. Now, this is a good one. You can always pray this. It's also in the book of Colossians. He prayed that they would be strengthened from God's boundless resources so that you will find yourselves able to pass through any experience and endure it with courage. Now, that's rich. That's something you can pray for these girls. Now, supposing you are praying, and I'm sure that many, many of you are praying for the girls overseas. It's been good to see some of their pictures here in our prayer groups and to learn some of their needs and to hear, like from Sherry and the rest. How can you help the girls in your own area, in your own Bible study, or the girl that you're meeting with? How can you help her to pray for people overseas? And I'd like to pass on just a few things that might be helpful for you. First of all, these journeys in prayer or these times of prayer have to be exciting to you. To you first. Something that you're doing or beginning to do. Because you can't ask someone to do something that you're not doing. And so you start doing it first. And then another thing is to get a map. We have a map that we use, just a world map. Look at it. Study it. When you hear about Trudy in the Middle East, find out where that is. When you hear about John and Mary Carroll going to Argentina, find out where that is. These people mention different things. They're going different places. Look on the map. Where is it? Find it. I know when it was kind of scheduled for me to go to Germany, I looked at this one dot in Germany. And I looked at the dot in Colorado Springs where I was, and I thought, how come I have to go from one dot to another dot, Lord? Why can't I stay typing at this dot on the map? Does it make any difference if I type at this dot or this dot? And I looked at that map. I brought an atlas and studied it. And I looked at it. And the Lord gave me the scripture. It was when Jesus turned the water into wine, and his mother said to the friends, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. So I thought, well, I don't know the difference of going from one dot to another, but the Lord told me to go to this dot in Germany. And so whatever he saith unto you, do it. And so I started praying for all the different countries in Europe. And I didn't know anybody. But what a joy it was to get over there and begin to know a few of the people in Europe. And then another thing that you can do is when you're reading the paper, begin to relate the news that you read or hear or Time magazine, relate it to the mission field. And you have to almost consciously start with this. Like when you hear of a bad earthquake in one of the countries, you think, oh, terrible. Well, go beyond that. Think, do I know any of the Christians there? And if you do, pray. Or if you don't know any of the Christians there, just stop and ask God, Lord, I know that there were Christians involved here, maybe young believers. They'll never understand what happened, tragedies and families. I just pray, Lord, that you would undertake for these believers. Begin to give yourself to prayer for people that you don't even know, but start. Dick Hillis said one time, if you want to become involved with a heart concern for people, he said, I'll give you a little exercise to try. So I thought, well, I'd like to try. He said, it was here in Colorado Springs. He said, go downtown, stand on a corner. And as people come to you, pick out one person. And as they come toward you, pray for that person until they're right even with you. Then stop. Pick somebody else. Pray till they come right in front of you. Stop. Pray for another person. So I thought, well, I'm willing. We're downtown Colorado Springs with someone, and I stood on a corner. I thought, who will I pick? And I picked someone. I thought, what do I pray? But I thought, well, Lord, if they don't know you, bring somebody across their pathway that can give them the gospel. And the lady finished. So I looked for somebody else. And I had the best time. And now I really enjoy praying for people like that. Whenever I stand and wait for people, here comes the lady with a funny hat. Lord, maybe she doesn't know you. please send somebody her way that will explain Jesus Christ to her. She's gone by somebody else. And it's really exciting. And people begin to come on your heart. You never see them again. But it's a joy to begin praying like that. Then another thing, I think, is for the girls who are in your study, and I don't mean, you know, you're brand new Christians, but girls who've gone a little bit further in your study, you want to help them with world vision. You want to help them to reach out in prayer for the girls in the next town over, the next state over, or in the foreign fields. We settle on an idea that we have enjoyed doing and that we really feel has blessed and benefited us. We have all our prayer letters together. We save them. And we have selected a prayer chairman, and we give our prayer letters to her. And she divides the prayer letters up into continents. And so when we have our regular little, I call it our core meeting, every other Thursday night, one of our things that we do is we have our prayer time. And so Sylvia hands out all the European prayer letters, all the Middle East prayer letters, all the letters for the Orient, all the letters for the stateside, because you are in the world, you know. And we go to our prayer group. And we stay in this prayer group for maybe 3-4 months. Let's say 3 months. And we keep praying for these people. And you get to know these people. The last time we prayed together, one of the girls said, you know, I've never met this family, but I think I know them. And I said, well, how come? And she said, I know about both their daughters. And she said, the man is sick. We've been praying for him. They need housing. I thought, yes, you do know the family. And it's a real joy to get to know these people when they come to the States. We've been praying for Hugh and Phyllis Harris and the family. We got to meet them about a month ago. I know when most of the girls didn't know Joyce Turner. We know her. We know Trudy Crawford. We know Jan Jansen. And they've come through. And it's been a real joy to get to meet them. So put the girls that you have, if there's only two or three, just have one little group. But get your prayer letters, underline the requests, and start praying. Just start praying. And occasionally you can select one of the girls in your group to find out something special about a country. When John and Mary Carroll were leaving us to go to Argentina, Sylvia asked one of the girls to look up something special about Argentina so that we'd know what John and Mary Carroll would be facing. And so she gave us about a little 7-minute report on Argentina, the people, the country, what they're like. And it was really interesting. And then we stopped and we prayed for John and Mary Carroll and for heart preparation and their needs that they had. And then after you've prayed for several months in your prayer group, then change. Then let those who've been praying for Europe go to the Middle East, or the Middle East go to the stateside group. And by the time of a year, you have prayed all the way around the world. And then another thing that you could do in your area is you could begin praying that the Lord would send somebody to your area, one of the girls who's been overseas. I know they used to tell me, well, San Jose's way out of the way. And so I said, well, Lord, okay, if San Jose's out of the way, could someone make it a point to come and visit us? We need to know about these girls overseas and to know what some of their needs are. One by one, they've been coming. Maureen Dawson is a girl from England. She came and spent about a week with us. Julie Gibbons spent 2 weeks with us. Then we had a girl that had been living in New Zealand who was going back to England, and John Crawford wrote and said, could Mary Edwards come and stay with you for a week? So that was when Janice was with us, and she stayed in Janice's home. And it's fun to get to know these people. It's a privilege. And you know, at the same time, it teaches the girls hospitality. I know it's a whole new subject, another one of my favorite subjects. But you know, it's... You can teach the girls in your home to be thoughtful about someone else. Give them time to relax and all these things. And so it's a two-way stretch. You're blessed and they're blessed. When Joyce Turner was with us, one of the things that she did was she brought a tape from the Penang conference of all these girls talking. Do they have accents or what? They spoke English, but you had to pay good attention. And it was fascinating to hear how they came to know the Lord, just like we do. And some of the problems they had, they talked about, like scripture memory, just like us. And we sat there on the floor in a little circle, fascinated with all these testimonies. And I know several of the girls said that was just a highlight, to listen to these girls from way across the world. That was one thing. Ruthie Holmston came and spent an evening with us and talked to our Bible study, just briefly. And she shared about one girl in the Philippines. How she came, this girl was a Christian, but how she began growing in the Lord, some of the hard things that she faced because of the lordship decision. And one of the Bible study groups, a beginning group, was so fascinated and taken with this girl that they wanted to really pray for her. So they went up to Ruth and said, could we take this girl and really pray for her? Do you think she'd write to us? So this Bible study group is writing to a girl in the Philippines. And then the very beginning group, which is a group that Pat had, they already had been doing this. And they had chosen a girl in Singapore to write to. And they had prayer requests. And when the first letter came from this girl, it was really exciting. They really, really loved it. And that's one thing that you can do, is to have the girls in your Bible study, have one of them write. Don't you write. But involve them and let one of them write. And that's a good way to get the world on your heart. And then they do special things when they're with you, these girls. Trudy fixed us a salad from the Middle East. Ooh, is that good. Now it's on our menus, too. And Lou told us a lot of things about the Japanese culture that help us to pray for her. And another thing that you can do, which we've done a few times, is to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, when Christmas time comes, can we do something for the girls that are overseas? Just a little token. One year we sent tapes, and we just got some special letters back from the tapes. One year we sent the necklace with the little fish on it. They're just little remembrances to let them know we're praying and we're behind them. Now, another point here that we're going to talk about briefly is the hindrances to your prayer times like this. You know, we can think, I really want to go home and pray, and I really want to start, but you'll run into some hindrances and some influences that will retard your prayer life. I don't really like to talk about this, but I think we ought to spend a few minutes on it because you'll run into this. Prayerlessness is powerlessness. That's why we need to talk about it. One of them, I think, is a lack of the sense of urgency. And we think, now this is a great idea, I'll do it tomorrow. Oh, that was a good idea, we'll start next week. Because it isn't really urgent on your heart, you don't start now. And it slides, and this idea that was good becomes okay. And you know, we find ourselves sliding out of today and right into tomorrow. And there isn't a sense of urgency about what we do. And you see, there ought to be a sense of urgency because we ourselves should be growing in the Lord and developing in our prayer life. And this is a joy. It's not a hard job at all. It's a joy. And we need to be reaching out in prayer toward other people. And it is urgent that we do this. One of the missionary statesmen of today said, you know, he said, people think they're living in May and it's September. And what he meant was this. He said, it was January in the 1900s. The earth was cold. People were cold. People weren't particularly interested in Christ. That was in 1900. You know, he said, people think they're living in May and it's September. And what he meant was this. He said, it was January in the 1900s. The earth was cold. People were cold. People weren't particularly interested in Christ. That was in 1900. But he said, this is 1973, and it's not May, it's September. It's harvest time. And the Lord said that we should pray for workers to go out into the harvest, and particularly for those who are already there. And it's September, it's harvest time. And he told us, he gave us figures that were outstanding. Thousands of Arabs have come to know the Lord in East, I think it was Iran, and through a Baptist missionary society there. And he said, if I could just really stimulate you people to let you know it's harvest time in the world, pray for the people who are over there. But it's not that urgent to us, and so we don't have that sense of urgency in prayer either. And ask God to give you this. You can't drum it up, because it'll leave you tomorrow. You might have it tonight, and we'll go tomorrow. So ask God to give it to you. Another thing is, you know, sometimes we have a lack of concern for other people. And our world runs around too much around us. And maybe that's just where we are now in our Christian life. And if that's who we are, then let's begin developing. We're all there at some point, you know. And it's not bad that we're there. It's bad that we don't go on. And so let's ask God that we develop this real concern for others. I think it comes from praying, you know, Lord, may we see things from your point of view. Ask God for this. Another thing that I think girls can face quite a bit is this. It's unbelief. Could God really use me in prayer? My prayer life isn't that good. I'm weak in prayer. Can God use me? He sure can. He can use anybody. And it's not so much that you have this tremendous faith. It's who you have your faith in. My faith is very weak and little. But the fact is that the faith I have is in God. And we've been learning about God. He's sovereign. He answers prayer. He is love. He's everything we could possibly want. And that's who my faith is in. Because I trust in God, he's going to answer prayer. It's not that you're talented or anything else. It's that you're an open channel through which he can work. You know, in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, it says that Jesus couldn't do mighty works there because of their unbelief. Let's not that be said of us. Let's have faith that he can do anything he's promised to do. And another reason, I think, is because sometimes we're not organized in our time. We really want to, you know, it's on our heart to do it. But before we can really get around to it. It's 9 o'clock, 9:30. Where did the night go? It's gone. Maybe we need some help in how we schedule our time. And there's one thing that someone said that's really good. We have to be selective about the things we choose to do. We must also be selective about the things we ask others to do. Because if prayer is a priority, then we're going to select to do this first. And we're going to be sure that other people have time to pray. And so you have to be selective in what you do. And I'm afraid that sometimes many of us live on the impulse of doing what we want to, and we do not live by priority. And you see, prayer is a priority because prayer, God operates through prayer. And so when you set out your schedule, what time are you going to pray? That's important. And then your other things come around that. Here's an example that comes to my mind. You could think on the impulse, oh, I've got to go see Mary. She needs me to encourage her. Stop and think. God, would you like me to go and see Mary? Or would you like me to spend 10 minutes in prayer for Mary? He might say, go. She might need you right then to encourage her in something, just you being there. But he might say, stay home and pray. And then another thing that can be a hindrance is sin. We've talked about this before. Sin in our lives. And sometimes it's subtle. And someone has said, sometimes it's even very cultured. Sometimes it's crude, sometimes it's just plain common. But sin is there. And Proverbs 28:19 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And S.T. Gordon, I guess you know I like this book. I'll quote something else from him. He says, "Sin stains the life, and it warps the judgment, saps the will, and blurs the mental vision." I'll say it once more. Sin stains the life, warps the judgment, saps the will, and blurs the mental vision. So if there's sin that's lurking way down deep, no wonder you can't pray or you have no desire. That's why you have to use 1 John 1:9 a lot. If we confess our sins, use it a lot. Little sins, big sins, funny sins, things that you don't think are that important. Confess it. Use it. Have a clean heart. Have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man, so God can use you in your prayer life. Don't tolerate sin. Take care of it. Another thing that can come in, I think, easily too, is our love of ease. It's easier to think about the girls overseas than to pray. I think, how is Joyce tonight? I wonder what she's doing. I spent 5 minutes in thinking. It's harder to pray. And in Luke 18, in the first part of the chapter, it speaks about that we shouldn't faint, we should pray. And you remember when Jesus took some of his disciples with him? It's in Matthew 26, verses 39 and 42. He said, "Now watch with me." And he went aside and he prayed and he fell asleep. And he said, "What? Couldn't you watch with me?" Ease creeps in. You know, it's another thing. It's easier to do it tomorrow. But start. Do it right now. Then, of course, we have an enemy. And our enemy is Satan. And, you know, he does not want you to pray. That's for sure. Because many times haven't you gotten on your knees and you think, "Oh, I must add that to the grocery list." You think, "Oh, I forgot to tell Bernice something. I wanted to communicate to her." Up you go, write this down. And you think, "Well, today I spent 15 minutes in prayer." Did you? "I spent 10 minutes writing things down, 3 minutes getting back to my prayer time, and 2 minutes praying." Mr. Chadwick said, "Satan dreads nothing but prayer. And the one concern of the devil is to keep the saints from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray." Because there's power going up. He doesn't like that. Why does he tremble? Because we're in communion with God. We're in communion with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, getting our instructions. God is telling us something. We're communing with him, and Satan doesn't like that. Satan is an obstinate fighter. He refuses to acknowledge defeat until he must. He yields only what he must. Therefore, prayer must be definite or specific. He yields only when he must. Therefore, prayer must be persistent. And the world is a battlefield. We're on a battlefield. You and I are soldiers for the Lord. You know, part of our responsibility is to get people on Satan's territory onto our territory. That's why we witness. And you know, the minute he loses someone, he's going to fight. That's when we go to prayer. It's knee work again. And we really go to prayer for this person. And like it's been said, I'm sure you've heard this so often, we must talk to God about men before we talk to men about God. Now, in conclusion, there's a lot that's been said and so much that's been left unsaid. But I'd just like to challenge you to reach out in prayer. Why don't you start by asking God, "What country or what girl would you like me to pray for overseas?" Just start with one and ask God who it is. Find out what you can about her. If you don't have a picture, look through some old log and get one. Get some prayer requests from her and start praying. Get a map, look at the map. Where is she? Where are you? Pray. but start and get a prayer partner
or a little group,
because it's easier to do that and pray together. And then pray. Waldron Scott said at one conference that, I don't know how many years ago this was, but when he first started to pray for overseas people, he told the Lord he would start and take 5 minutes a day and pray intercessory prayer for people overseas and beyond his own realm here. And I thought, 5 minutes? And when I was thinking that, he said, some of you think you pray more. Time it sometime. See how much you really pray. I was amazed how little I prayed. So he told the Lord he would take that year and each day spend 5 minutes in prayer. The next year he increased it by 5 minutes and he spent 10 minutes every day in prayer. The next year he increased it and he spent 15 minutes in prayer, intercessory prayer. I think when I heard him, he was on 20 minutes or 30 minutes a day. I don't know what he does today. But that's a place to start. And there's one thing I'd like to leave with you. Only one life 'twill soon be passed, and only what's done for God will last.